Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Yes, indeed. It's Michael Dean, and it's After Dark, so it's time for Michael Dean After Dark. And we have a little idea of what we're going to do. We have a little idea of what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about liberty media in general and specifics of creating and disseminating liberty media. My co-host tonight is Mr. Chandler St. Pierre. How you doing, Chandler?
I'm good, Michael. How you doing?
I am excellent. You took a nap before this show, right?
As always.
Yep, because you're a working man. You're a working man with your single father, right?
Yes, I am.
Yep, and you go out and work and support your kids like a man should, or like a human should, I guess I should say. Women can do it too. And we are Liberty Media producers, and we want to chat a little bit about that tonight, about the specifics and generalities of it. So the generalities of it, I've been noticing a couple things about the increase in the amount of liberty media. And I think it's a really cool thing. And this is one of the things I'm trying to do with this show, is kind of be the liberty school, radio school, journalism school, and train the next generation of liberty people. And Chandler has experience. I mean, he's done a few podcasts. He does a podcast. But this is radio. We're actually on a radio station. It's with a show clock. It's got ads. It's got a time, it's timed down to the microsecond. We have atomic clocks, and it's a whole different experience. So I'm trying to bring some more people in for that. And another thing I've noticed is, I do Amazon affiliate links, which is like, I blog a lot of stuff. I mention stuff on the shows and I put it in the show notes, and then, this microphone's good. I use it. And I put a link, and when someone buys it, I get, if it's a $50 item, I get it like $1.60 or something. And I just got my Amazon check for this month, and it was $275. It's not actually a check. It's like Amazon cash. I buy stuff on Amazon with it, but that's about twice what I usually get. It kind of blew my mind. And I went back and checked what people had purchased. I can't see who purchased it, but I can see what they purchased. And it's almost entirely audio gear I've recommended to start your own radio show. And that's amazing. I mean, we're out here just building the next wave of Liberty Media people. So tell me, Chandler, tell me what you use for equipment and what your shows are.
Well, right now I'm using the Audio Technica AT2005 USB mic at your recommendation. I really like it.
Yeah.
I did some recording tests and audition, and it sounded really good. And actually, tonight, we're just doing it with the USB input right to my laptop.
I think it sounds a little better, actually.
Yeah. Well, you said that there's internal compression in the microphone.
A tiny bit, but just enough to make it sound a little better.
Yeah. So, I mean, last week, I was using the same mic with the Alesis Multimixer 8 USB mixer, which I also got on your recommendation. It was kind of funny because after listening to the Fiends and everything, I was like, yeah, I got to pick up that mixer because, during our show, we'd play clips and stuff. And it was always so hard to do it before, like running a second laptop and then running the media through that into my computer. So I figured I need to get a new mixer, and I looked around a lot on Amazon and eBay, and they were fairly expensive. And I just happened to walk into a pawn shop one day, and there was one sitting there. It was almost like new, and they wanted, I think, $70 for it.
Nice.
They talked down to like $60, I think. So I was like, yep, that'll work.
Yeah, a mixer's good too, even if you're not playing bumps or clips or anything, because you can turn the fader down if you cough or sneeze or clear your throat. I do that constantly.
Yeah, that is the one handy thing. Like right now, if I cough, I just hit the mute button on Skype, but it's not quite as handy as having a little turny knob. So, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there. It's interesting. When we first started our original podcast in 2012.
What was it called?
Brush Fires of the Mind. That was our minarchist to anarchist eventually. By the end of it, we were full-blown anarchists. And, oh, man, it was horrible. The sound was horrible. We were on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, that's horrible, man. I mean, I don't want to denigrate anyone's business model, but I don't know why anybody would be on a service that puts ads on your stuff and doesn't sound good when you can very inexpensively, you know, get a HostGator account through the Freedom Fiends link and for $160 a year have like unlimited throughput. And, you know, I run two radio shows and one of them's pretty popular and one of them's new and a bunch of other sites, and it's never an issue, the amount of throughput I have. And they have like free one-click installs for WordPress and things like that. It's also, you don't want to have someone else be your you don't want to have someone else be the URL you're sending your stuff to, because I learned this experience really early on when I got on the web. There was a site called mp3.com. It was before any other kind of file sharing anything, and it was like I spent all this time building my brand on there, and I had business cards with my like mp3.com/Michael Dean or whatever. And overnight, after like a year of me doing that, they went to a pay model. It's their right to do that, but it's kind of like, yeah, I really wish I hadn't done that, 'cause I had to start building all over again on my own site. And I've always done things on my own site since then.
Well, yeah, there was, it started off with us. There was a group that had an actual pay account on there. So they were kind enough to give us a slot. So we weren't complaining. And I mean, it was horrible, man. We had like really cheap gaming headsets. Sometimes we did it on cell phones, and the content was good. We had some really interesting discussions, but like you always say, if your message, doesn't matter how good it is, if your audio quality's poor, people are just going to tune out. And that's what happened. So, you know, we evolved eventually. I bought some better headsets and everything. But you just couldn't get the right sound. So after we were done that, you know, I started, a lot of it I got from you guys, you know, like the HostGator thing. We put our site up with that. We had experimented with Mixlr, which actually, I won't diss it because it's a good site, you know, but it does have the problem that you were just speaking to. But we had done that and you can have your own page and you can stream live. You can, like, we had it hyperlinked as a listen live button on our website and it worked. But the only problem is we use Skype to connect because my co-hosts are all in different states.
Yeah.
And when we did it, the stream could only accept my feed or theirs. So like we did a whole show where we didn't know, and people just heard me talking, and one of my friends was like, "What is going on? Where is everyone?" You know, so that was kind of a problem, and we ended up, there's a way around it, and it's very complicated. And
so we know what's bad, you know, using someone else's site where they have, first of all, they can kick you off if they don't like your content. Second of all, they can change their business plan. You know, Facebook kind of did that too. I mean, Facebook, when we first got on it years ago, it was great. And I amassed like 3,500 friends on there, and I would post something and a lot of people would see it. And then it got to the point where they changed their algorithms to where they were trying to charge you money to have the people who'd subscribe to see your stuff see your stuff. And it got to the point where I had 3,500 friends and I'd post something and like four people would respond to it. Like literally, and it's not like, oh, I wasn't putting up stuff, it was good. It was the same kind of stuff. It was just like the people were not seeing it. So,
and it's usually the same people that respond because those are the only people that are seeing that stuff. I've found
because
that
they've subscribed because they've like secondarily subscribe to it, you know, of like, show me all his updates.
Yep.
So what do you do now and what's your show now?
Well, the conclusion we came to, instead of hassling with everything that comes with hassling and doing a live stream, we basically just record and we post it on our website. And that
has a lot easier.
It is. You know, after listening to the Fiends for a while and getting tips from you guys and talking to some other people, we've just found it so much easier because we can all agree upon a time. That was another thing. You know, we had odd time slots when we had to do it live and we had to be all ready. And usually it was at night.
It's hard for me, man. I mean, I've structured my whole life in such a way that I haven't had to have a day job in 12 years. And it took me like 10 years to get to that point of having day jobs. And, you know, after being in a rock band for a while and bumming around and making a little money doing that. And, you know, like I basically structured my life in such a way that I don't ever have to set an alarm clock. And now I have to set an alarm clock because there's six times a week that I have to be on a microphone at the same time. And it's a quality problem. It's like I fought to be able to do this, you know, but it's putting structure in my life that I'm not, that I tried to weed out of my life.
It's quite an adjustment, huh?
It really is.
Yeah. So I think that honestly, and I think this will work for a lot of people, you know, we sit down, we all find a time, and it's usually in the morning when all our brains are fresh and we're full of coffee. And, you know, we'll record a good podcast and I just do all the editing. What I do is, and I'm on a Mac usually, I'll just run Audio Hijack, which is a great program, and I'll split the streams so that the Skype callers are on one channel and I'm on the other. That makes post editing really easy. Because
basically,
one of my
it's two track recording basically, because you can mute one or bring another one up.
Yep, and it works great. So, like, if there's a problem on one side with one of my co-hosts, a lot of times he had to call in on his cell phone until he got his gear up and running. I could adjust the levels on just that channel. So it worked out really good. And then I just downsample it into a mono and edit it, put our intro in and our outro, and upload it to the website.
And I would recommend that all spoken content, spoken-only content, be released mono instead of stereo. I mean, actually, the MP3s that I release are stereo anyway, but the talk content of it is mono. I leave them stereo because sometimes I want to have music bumps that are stereo. And here's a mono stereo bump coming in. But yeah, you really weird things can happen with voices in stereo. It doesn't always work well. You can get phase problems. And most radio stations, AM, are mono anyway. So we'll be back after this trip to the market. You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Hello, boys and girls and cats and kitties. This is Mr. Michael Dean, and it's After Dark. So it's Michael Dean After Dark. So we're talking about the progression of Liberty Media, and I want to take it all the way back to like 20, 25 years ago. Shortwave, man. You ever heard Shortwave Liberty Media, Chandler?
Yeah, I used to listen to a lot of the shortwave broadcasts that got archived and put on the internet.
Yeah.
Bill Cooper actually had a great one, The Hour of the Time. It was, you know, the conspiracy stuff. But it was interesting to listen to. And a lot of what we consider now.
Yeah, Liberty. And this is like Alex Jones was 12 when this stuff was out. That's how long ago this was, what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah. Early 90s, like 91, 92.
He wasn't 12, but
he was young. Yeah. There was a lot of the Patriot and Liberty.
Yeah, it was. I don't understand that. Like, there's this one guy, I forget his name, but he's archived a bunch on YouTube of his old shortwave stuff that someone took off of reel-to-reel recordings of it and put it up. And it was like, you know, every show began with, oh, a copyright warning, which is really weird because, you know, like today's Liberty people are generally ANCAPs who don't believe in intellectual property laws or government guns to enforce them. And then it would be followed by like, greetings, patriots. And I'm like, what are you being patriotic toward if you're talking about liberty and the problems of government? You know, it just seems like a lot of people have evolved beyond that to where it's like, you know, they realize that rooting for the football team of one nation over another and having those imaginary lines is counterintuitive to any kind of evolving human liberty.
Well, you had that whole nationalist thread that ran through shortwave broadcasts. I mean, there were a lot of good people, but they didn't get it.
They didn't have the, you know, and like we're standing on the shoulders of giants now, too. Yeah. You know, like everything evolves quicker as time goes on, I think, with technology and with human philosophy.
Well, you were just saying, you know, in the break we were talking, it's possible to do not only a podcast, but a live radio show lying in our bed.
Yeah, you're lying in your bed. I'm actually sitting up, because if I lie in my bed, we'd be married or something if we're doing a radio show together. So, although I got nothing against that, and I do support the right of gay married couples to guard their marijuana fields with AR-15s that they purchased with Bitcoin.
Awesome.
That's my politics.
Yeah.
So... So we're on we're actually on radio. This is on, it's streaming on the internet, and I hope my friend Marika is listening in Prague. She just tried to send me her novel on Skype, and I said, hey, I can't look at it now. I'm doing a radio show, because it kept like popping up the little Skype notification, and I'm sure our listeners could hear it. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a way to turn that off, although I kind of don't want to turn it off. I kind of want to invite people to Skype in if you want. Skype name is KittyFeet1, KittyFeet1, like the feet of a cat, KittyFeet1. Or you can call in on 1-855-660-4261. It's kind of weird. When we give the number out, people don't call in, and then sometimes people call in when we don't give the number out. I guess it's just the hamster in their brain starts going, and they're like, gotta talk on the radio, and they call in.
Well, it's like the guy that called in last week when you had Diana on, talking about what we were talking about the night before, and you didn't even give the number out.
Oh, I think he was probably listening to a delayed recording of it somewhere.
Yeah, he said he was listening like on LRN. It in his car the next day.
Yeah, oh. Now, that'd be really funny if he was, like, listening to his recording of it. Like, he knew it wasn't live and tried to call in live to talk about it. We've had that happen because we have a streaming link, too, on the Freedom Fiend site that plays a 24/7 streaming, like, jukebox random of every episode we've ever done, and, like, a bunch of my bands and a bunch of Nima's music and all the podcasts I do, all the interviews I do on other people's shows, and, like, people think that's live, and they call in the show when we're live, and they're like, yeah, I want to talk about this thing you're talking about this gun law they're trying to pass in Wyoming to allow concealed carry without a permit. And I'm like, that passed a year and a half ago. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, when we were on Blog Talk, we actually had that happen more than once, because, you know, they stream those shows, and yeah, we had people that call in and talk about topics that were 2 or 3 weeks old. So
yeah, but we are on one radio station. We're on WKR. Actually, we're on two that I can name. The rest are all pirate. I guess we're on. There are a bunch of people that play the LRN stream on pirate radio. I've heard. I actually heard Ian today praising those people on Free Talk Live, which is like syndicated on 140 commercial FCC licensed stations. And you know, I always say that Ian commits 3 felonies per show. Everybody else commits 3 felonies per day. He commits 3 per show, and I salute him for that. He was also telling people not to pay tax on their Bitcoin, because the IRS wants people to pay tax on Bitcoin now. But I don't know anything about that.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
My friend Marika is listening. She's not in Prague, though. She's in Berlin. Isn't that cool? Isn't it a nice time to be alive?
Well, that goes right back into what we were talking about with the explosion of Liberty Media and its accessibility.
Yeah. Yep. And there's a whole bunch new libertarian and anarcho-capitalist ANCAP media out there, too. And there's even some minarchist media, those people who think, we just need to get the right people in there to fix government, which is like,
I love those people.
Which is like saying, you know, the mafia would work really well if we just got nice mafia members in there. But it's pretty cool, man. It's kind of like I was listening to Ernie Hancock today on Freedom's Phoenix, another long running podcast streaming radio show. And I think he's on one radio station also somewhere. And he's kind of like the hardest working guy in rock and roll of Liberty, man. He's like 3 years, he's 53 or 54, and he has so much energy that when I'm on his show, I'm exhausted and need a nap afterwards. He's great.
Yeah, but I met him at Porkfest, and he was just running all over the place constantly.
He told a hilarious story today when he interviewed Derek Slopey, the programmer on MeowBit from MeowBit.com. He said he was at Porkfest, and he was wearing like a yellow windbreaker. And he said some lady came up to him and thought he was a cop. And he's like, that kind of makes sense. I'm a middle-aged, pudgy, white guy, and I'm wearing a big yellow windbreaker. I look like a cop. And she came up to him and said, excuse me, officer, there are people smoking marijuana over there. Like, at Porkfest, man. That's like at Woodstock saying, like, there's people taking drugs.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not law enforcement, ma'am. I don't, you know. And he said he was baked at the time, too. So, yeah, I don't know what happened, but, you know, he's been doing Liberty streaming media for like 10 years. And he said that when he was started doing it, like he had to convince people there's a problem, like government is a problem. And they were like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean cops beat people up? I don't believe you. And then he'd show them the evidence. They'd be like, well, I guess that's okay. You know, and now, though, it's kind of gotten to the point where it's like, You know, there's the general public, you still have to convince them it's a problem, and you never will, because they love the state like they love their family and will defend it. But it's kind of got to the point where there's like, the argument anymore isn't like, I'm a libertarian, let me explain to you what that is. It's more like everyone's fighting of who's more libertarian than others. And I think that's cool. I mean, I'm not in that game because I know I'm the most libertarian and I know I'm the coolest, but it's kind of like I've even seen like a couple YouTube channels pop up of guys who kind of look like they're kind of wannabe Adam Kokeshes, but they're all like, you know, kind of dreamboaty, like, and really playing that up, like even more than he does. Like, hey baby, I'm libertarian, sleep with me. You know, it's like, it's the mating call now. And I think that's great. That's wonderful.
You're in a position to get that sort of thing. Now you just have to say you're a libertarian
or a voluntarist or an ANCAP or a voluntarist or whatever these kids are calling it these days. Yeah. It is
funny because I was talking to my cousin. He's a country boy, down to earth guy, musician. And, we were sitting having a few drinks one night, and I was telling him my political philosophy. And once I brought up the A word, he's like, oh, you know, he couldn't believe it.
Oh, I have that on my list of like cuss words. I have anarchist on the wall on like my list of on the corkboard of things not to say on radio.
Yeah. Well, and I understand why, because what he said to me later on that day, a few days later, we were talking, and he's like, you know, I agree with so much of what you said, but you can't call yourself that. It sounds too scary.
I know.
And that's literally what it was. You know? And it's like, okay.
And then there's the people who are like, I really agree with you that government is horrible and we need, you know, it's everything it does is bad, but like we need a little bit of it, which is like saying, which is not even like saying, it is saying murder, theft, fraud, and aggression are horrible, but we need a little bit of them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so square, man.
Well, it's just that there is a section of the population that has evolved past that because I think they understand the principles of self-ownership.
Yeah.
And the responsibility that it requires. And let's face it, just not a lot of people are there yet. And I really do agree with a lot of folks in the Liberty Mission that say it's a multi-generational thing. I know Stefan Molyneux talks about that a lot. And I see it with my own kid. I've raised her to be a good little ANCAP. You know, she talks to her friends and she listens. You know, I know she listens to me even when I'm boring her, because I'll listen sometimes when she talks to her friends about things, and she employs the same gradual strategies that I do when I talk to people. And she's 15. So I really think that's the key. If we get these kids thinking about being independent and self-reliant and understanding these principles, we'll get there. You know, freedom will evolve.
Yeah, it's also like, the more tyrannical government becomes and tries to regulate every sector of society, the more, you know, like a lot of people are libertarian on one thing. Like, you know, like a lot of gay people are like, they're single issue. They're like gay marriage. There has to be gay marriage. Why isn't there? And then people who, you know, like are into Bitcoin, they're like, Bitcoin, man, it should be unregulated. But these are still people that like vote and think that, you know, politics, and they can like, and they like write their congressman and say, please don't regulate Bitcoin, which is like, you know, asking the slave master to whip you less hard. So,
but well, it's,
but the, and like the war on drugs, like the, everybody has a thing that they're really into that the government will eventually crack down on if they haven't already, to the point where like, sooner or later, everyone is going to hate the government and just consider it like an anachronism or something like the appendix, like a vestigial organ that maybe used to have a use in the past, but has evolved. We've evolved to not need it anymore.
You're seeing it more and more, and I think the explosion of Liberty Media helps. Even if you don't consume Liberty Media personally, you know people that do, and you always hear them talking. Like my father. Him and I, especially even as far back as I'd say 2004, especially 2008, we would argue and argue so much. And I mean, he was a hardcore liberal, and way, way, way back in the day, I was a hardcore conservative. So that, you know, we were at odds there. But even now he's coming around. And like you and I were talking about during the break, I think Ron Paul had a big part of that. He's like, you know, I listened to that guy that you were telling me about, and he sounded really good. He made a lot of sense. And my father went from these single issues that interested him that the liberals have prominence with to understanding that these guys will just say they target those single issues and they will say whatever they can to get you to support them. And he started to see that.
My first encounter with the word libertarian or the concept was my first day of college. I was 17 years old. I went to college a year early. And I was in the student union, like, you know, signing up and getting my ID made and stuff. And people had card tables set up. And one was the Libertarian Party, which are not libertarians, but they, you know, they kind of, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. What can I say? You know, everything gets a little better as time goes on. So, like, I looked like a total stoner hippie at the time. And I walked by them and they were like, they held up the pamphlet and they're like, we're in favor of decriminalizing marijuana. And I walked, like they looked at me and decided that was the single issue to approach me with. And I like took the pamphlet and I looked at it and they started talking to me all kind of like cheery eyed and like, this will change the world. And I was just like, I just set the pamphlet down and walked away because it reminded me of like Christian evangelist or something, like somebody or car salesman or somebody trying to push something to me that, you know, I wouldn't have bought otherwise.
Oh, it's amazing the ploys they'll use. I mean, like I said, back in 2000, I was a real big conservative and I went to a Republican convention. And you got to understand, if you look at me, I don't look like – I got kicked off Glenn Beck's radio show once when I called in because I insulted him.
You look like the only thing you should be doing at a Republican convention is like selling weed to the bus driver for the Republicans or something.
Exactly. And
I will, like, you look like a better looking Weird Al Yankovic if people want a mental image.
There you go. That, yeah. I've never heard that one. But so yeah, man. I mean the looks I got and – the attitudes, and that was my first clue that this is all just manufactured and fake.
Well, I think that the reception that the GOP gave Ron Paul turned a lot of people against the idea that politics are the way, and a lot of them didn't get it. I mean, like, you know, Robin Kerner's a great guy. He does the blue Republican thing, the like Democrats who should vote for Ron Paul thing.
Yep.
And he really, like, believed that Ron Paul was going to win. I knew he wouldn't win. I knew they wouldn't let him win. And but the GOP, like, changed their rules at the convention to make darn sure no one like him ever had a chance again. And I think that just really sent a message to all the people who were religious about Ron Paul will save us. See, the problem with that is, like, first of all, it's going through politics. Second of all, it's the great man fallacy. It's one person is not the message. You know, one I mean, Ron Paul's a great philosopher. I like his books, but I like him a lot better now that he's not a politician. Although, since he's quit being a politician, he still does some incredibly statist stuff sometimes, like tries to sue people for, you know, domain name ownership or something.
Yeah. Well, I remember I had talked to, I think they were the main Tea Party or whatever. And I used to talk to a couple of those cats on Facebook. And they walked out of the big convention down in Florida, I think it was. It was on YouTube, and I think it even made a couple of news reports. They were ripped. They, like, were screaming and yelling and turned their backs and just walked out. So what I found happened here in Maine is about not quite half of the Ron Paul supporters and Ron Paul delegates finally understood, you know what, this isn't the way to go. This whole working within the system, it's a fallacy. And then the other half were like, all right, we'll try again, and we need to illustrate their corruption and what they did. And I'm like, guys, everyone knows what they did. Nobody cares. You're wasting valuable skills.
The Constitution was trampled by every president, starting with George Washington when he went and murdered Revolutionary War vets who 12 years earlier had fought with him for independence because they didn't want to pay a tax on the whiskey they were making that was higher than the tax they fought over the Revolutionary War over. And basically, like, Washington's reason for doing that was he was also a whiskey producer and he didn't want the competition.
Yeah, he wanted that monopoly. Well, there's two. Last week when you were talking to Diana and you were saying, how do you approach people? Do you start with the whole heroin and vending machines, or do you take a gradual approach? You know, you want to start a conversation with some statists and get them thinking. You start talking about how George Washington and
Their head will explode, man.
Yeah,
we'll be back for more.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
Syndicalist. One of those. Syndicalists. Yeah. That's not us. But it's all good. Yeah. Yeah, there's this anarchist coffee shop in Portland, Oregon, and they made headlines a few years ago because they decided not to serve cops. And it was, you know, the lefty anarchists, the everyone should own everything communally and there shouldn't be any property types. And my friend, the video went viral, and I have a friend who's an ANCAP who saw this video, and he was like, he said, I hate commies, but I hate cops more. Go, commie, go. That's one of the funniest things I've heard, man. There's a guy named Fred Object. You know Fred Object?
I've heard you talk about him on The Fiends.
Yeah, people always think it's Fred Object, like he objects to everything. But it's actually Object, because he said that back in the dance days, in the rave days, he used to be so intoxicated all the time that he was completely, like, asexual, and people would try to hit on him and he'd be like, like an object. So he's Fred Object. Yeah. So we're talking about Liberty Media in general, and we're going to get into specifics in the second hour more, but I mean, I hate to say, like, how has the internet changed your life? But, you know, we were kind of first adopters. What year did you get on the internet? I was literally on the internet before the web. I was on the internet in 91, and then I was on the web in early 95, which is a few months after it started, and then I had a website by 96. How long have you been using the interwebs?
Well, the first time I think I ever got on the internet, I had a really, I don't say it disparagingly, but geeky friend who was in the military, and he was real big into computers.
Geeks are good, man. Geeks will inherit the earth, and the geeks are the reason that we're talking right now.
Yep. So he showed me a few things. I think it was like late 97, and I built my first, my friend helped me build my
first.
Was
he a communications guy in the Army? Or
he was. That's exactly what he did. Ham radios and all that good stuff. And I think the first computer I built was late 98. And ever since then, I've just been growing and learning.
You know, I have a I kind of constantly fight in my head between old technology and new technology, because the Freedom Fiend show on the weekend is on radio on 22 stations, which is mind-blowing to me. I mean, that's more than, you know, syndicated shows. I mean, it is a syndicated show, but it's like, and we've done that in, and I'm the guy calling the stations, and like, first of all, every station already is playing something 24/7, you know? So it's like, you have to convince them to drop something, or you have to get them to like you enough that they remember you when somebody, you know, when they kick someone off, or when someone retires or dies, which is pretty common, because I'm 50 and I'm young for talk radio, literally. And, you know, so a lot of, I mean, it's sad to say, like, I read Talkers Magazine, like, every month there's like, so-and-so talk radio pioneer passed away in his home today, surrounded by loved ones. And I'm like, even if it's someone whose politics I totally disagree with, that kind of affects me. I'm like, man, that's, you know, I kind of like cry one non-tear for them or something. I feel it when it happens. So, but I've wanted to be on radio since I was a kid. It was like a dream of mine. And now there's finally this window where like I can actually get on radio. And there's a lot going against us too. It's like, you know, libertarian, ANCAP, whatever, like most stations won't touch it. And we literally do come on like after Rush Limbaugh's Week in Review and before the Cowboy Church Service on some stations. So they're very conservative stations, but they're guys that are like, you know, either they see there's a market for libertarianism, or they're kind of like, they're kind of fed up with the system too, you know? So,
well, it's interesting because there's conservative talk radio dominates the airwaves, even up here in Maine. You know, I used to listen to a lot of that
stuff.
That's because
liberals aren't very good at it. They just whine. They don't really, they haven't mastered the art of invective the way that, you know, I don't agree with most of what the conservatives say, but they're so good at just being mean, man.
Well, and they lure you in.
Yeah.
And you're right, liberals just whine.
We'll be back. We'll be back with more in hour two. And I'll tell you about the story today of the heck, the torment of calling radio stations.
To Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things I don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
You're never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
No Vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto es por su parte considera.
To provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is hour two of Michael Dean After Dark, because it's after dark. It's so way after dark. I don't know. We got people listening in Berlin. It's probably, sun's probably coming up there or up. I think they're about, 7 or 8 hours east of me. So, yeah, man, it's always dark somewhere. You know, there was actually, we were talking in the first half about media, and we're going to continue that for the rest of this show. Basically, whenever Chandler's on, it's going to be media time, because he can't talk about it on his cast, because people are like, but we want to talk about the tyrannies of the governments. And you're like, I'm post that, man. It's like, you started out as a conservative, I started out as a Democrat. And then we moved both to like minarchist, and then we moved to like ANCAP. And now we're kind of like post ANCAP. I mean, I think we're just like, I just want to talk about what we'd talk about on the radio if the government were already out of the way, man. I don't want to talk about tyranny. So, but I want to talk about the issues of running a radio show and what it's about. So I called this guy today. It's so different dealing with radio than dealing with the internet. Like, you know, the internet, you call someone, you call up the internet and it responds or it doesn't. You call up someone who does like an internet radio show or has a popular website. You send them a press thing, or you say, I want to do an interview, and they either ignore you or they say, nah, or they go, yeah, let's do it tonight. Let's do it tomorrow. Let's do it Tuesday. And with terrestrial radio, there are people that I call, I mean, like twice a month for 9 months, and they finally put the show on. And I don't call back every 2 weeks if someone doesn't sound interested. And some people are like, yeah, man, we want to get you on. We're going to get you on soon. Call me in 2 weeks. And there's a guy I've been doing that with for 9 months. And like the last 3 times I called him, he was like, yeah, man, we're going to get you on soon. I've quit writing this in pencil. I'm writing this in pen now. And I called him, for him today, and, you know, that's old technology. Like, not like I've entered it into my scheduling software. It's like, yes, I'm writing this in pen now, because that's old technology. But, you know, I still use a pen sometimes, write stuff on the back of my hand. But I called today. He said 2 weeks ago to call in 2 weeks. And I always mark it on my calendar and call 2 weeks to the day or 2 months to the day, whatever people say. If people say, call me in 6 months, I call them 6 months to the day. But I called this guy, you know, as planned. Another guy answered the phone and said, oh, he's not here. He's out to lunch, but you know, he's not going to put he's not going to put your show on. And I'm the majority stockholder of this company, of this station. And, he's not going to put your show on. You should probably just stop calling. And I was just like aghast, because I have put so much time into chatting with this guy, and he's fun to chat with, you know? And I kind of feel like I basically said, you know, I kind of have a relationship with the guy. I mean, we talk a lot, you know, because when I call him, I talk for a half hour and talk about the weather and rock and roll and 70s rock and roll and stuff. But because, you know, it might be his boss, I don't want to get him fired. So I just said, well, we kind of have a relationship. I mean, he's talking like he really wants to get us on. I'd love to hear it from him. Is it okay if I call back? And he's like, yeah, whatever. You know, disappoint yourself. You know, like, do what you want. He'll be back in an hour. So I called back in an hour, and the guy's like, oh, don't listen to him, man. We're going to put you on. I'm like, but he said he's your boss. He's like, he's not my boss. He's my partner. And I said, well, he said he's the majority stockholder. And he's like, yeah, but he just comes in once a month to mess stuff up. Call me back in 3 months and we'll get you on. And I'm like, okay, man, I'll do it. That's the kind of like, this reminds me of being in my band before my band was popular and people were calling me, when I was calling people and saying like, hey, I got this new band. Can we play for free on a Tuesday night during happy hour? You know? And they're like, I don't know. Send me a tape. You know, it's what it feels like, man. And then it's got the added burden of, not only is it a show they've never heard of, but it's like libertarian. And that's scary to conservatives, I guess.
It is. And you know, that is exactly why we do a podcast. I mean,
this is radio. This is radio. We're on one radio station. So, okay.
That's why we do my group.
I just wanted to get on one station with this one, so it would be a radio show and not a podcast.
Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, like, my co-host and I, they're not just, I mean, we talk about media production and computers and stuff. They don't want to just talk about tyranny. In fact, one of my co-hosts, he basically wants to make fun of it all the time. That's all he wants to do now. He's like the Hunter S. Thompson of celebrity.
I think that the Freedom Fiends kind of put that out there, and that's becoming a meme. You know, I don't want to like say I'm owed a royalty for that or anything ridiculous like that, but there wasn't really any show doing that before we came along, and we just make fun of it all day long. I say, like, you know, Stefan Molyneux and you know, Stephen Kinsella and people like that are like the professors in the Liberty College, the Libertarian University. And Nima and I are like Beavis and Butthead in the back of the class, cracking up, making fun of everything.
Exactly. You know, I was listening to some of our old podcasts, and I was talking to my friend, and I was like, man, we were so square back then. We were like, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. Have you heard what they're doing now? And he's like, yeah, man, I don't want to do that anymore.
That's another thing I'll take credit for is that is me, and that's entered people's vernacular, is calling tyranny square, or calling people who aren't quite at ANCAP yet square. Yeah. And I love that, because square wasn't even a term used anymore. I mean, that's like old people 70s slang, you know, but so fits, man.
Square, right?
Yeah, that's the last time that song was hip. I think it was Huey Lewis in the News, and I think it was the second or third video ever on MTV, back when they actually played music and I had a TV. Yeah.
God, those were the days, huh? I went to a friend's house, and they have, I don't know, it's this thing called cable. And
I have that. I just use it to get my internet. I watch about 5 minutes. I'm not gonna be one of these, oh, I've evolved beyond television and don't own one. I have a great TV. I just never watch it anymore because it's stupid. I watch movies or something on it. You know, I get DVDs, download stuff,
Netflix, DVDs, and games.
I watch House of Cards on it.
I am going to start that show. I will say, I gotta say,
it's amazing.
Another one of my friends, a thank you. I just started watching Archer, and that show is hilarious. Oh my God.
It really is, man. It's the best.
Well, I got into Breaking Bad when you guys talked about it on the Freedom Fiends, and you were like, after that first episode, I was hooked. So, of course, I went out and got the whole season one, and I was hooked, too. I actually ended up getting a friend of mine into it, and I'm rewatching them with her. And yeah, it's great. We watched the one today where Gail talks, you know, Walt's like, so how did you get into this business? And he goes, well,
I'm basically a libertarian. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there were actually people who said that was horrible. And that was, you know, libertarians who said that was horrible. And that was TV trying to portray libertarians as dangerous and horrible because one was a meth cook. And I was like, yeah, but he's a like college, you know, like he has two master's degrees, and he's an expert meth cook, you know, like what's wrong with that? I mean, I don't do meth. I think it's one of the most destructive things. I've done a lot of it, you know, 20 years ago. I'm coming up on 20 years clean in July. And I've done a lot of drugs. I put a lot of drugs into my body, and that is the most destructive drug I've ever put into my body. But I agree with Gail's rant in that, you know, basically like consenting adults are going to do what they're going to do. And, you know, he provides them with a product that is what they want to buy and a pure form of it. And so they're going to get it anyway from him, or they're going to get it from, you know, somebody who's cutting it with rat poison and making it in a bathtub. They might as well get it from him. It's a very libertarian statement. And I saw nothing wrong with that. I think any libertarians who think that was, you know, TV making fun of libertarianism, or if it was doing a disservice to liberty, I think those people are square, man.
I think they just need to lighten up and have a sense of humor. I thought that, you know, when I heard that, my friend and I just busted out laughing. I thought that was, one of the funniest lines.
I was really sad when Gail died and was murdered by Jesse. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I could talk all day long about how, like, the government really killed him, because if meth wasn't illegal, Jesse wouldn't have had to kill him. But no, Jesse pulled the trigger. Jesse murdered him. And, you know, if meth wasn't illegal, Jesse never would have been involved in it, because they wouldn't have people like Jesse involved with it if it were legal, because they would have people like Gail, you know, not people like Jesse.
With huge sponsorships.
Yeah.
They would be in vending machines.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like, you know, the new soft drink, Methacola.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not being pro-drug, man. I think meth is like one of the scariest, worst poisons you could ever put in your body. But I think that the drug war is far more damaging to humanity than meth.
Oh, I would agree. I was having that discussion the other day, and the person I was talking to was like, wow, you sound awfully pro-drug for somebody who doesn't do drugs. And I'm like, well, you know, consenting adults. If you want to destroy your body and soul, that is your choice, and you have to live with the consequences. And it's not up to me to bail you out. But I don't think the government waging its war kicking indoors and, you know, depriving people of their property and their freedom is it solving it? I mean, look at what drugs used to be out there in the 70s and the 60s, and look what's out there now. I mean, they don't have a very good success rate.
Yeah, the war on drugs is, I mean, I don't even want to recap all this, but I guess we probably have new listeners we've never heard, so I'll do it in about 30 or 40 seconds. There are more drugs because drugs are illegal. They are more potent. They are more dangerous to acquire. The people shooting at each other from car to car is because they're illegal. And if all of the, you know, those people in Mexico and Central America and South America that basically own their own armies that are largely made up from them buying and threatening soldiers to work for them from their nation's armies, those people would be picking bananas or picking pockets if cocaine were legal.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you're talking about how to approach people about
or they'd be in politics. Those people would be in politics.
Yeah.
The big players, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I point to when I talk to people about that is the simple idea of monopolies. If you start explaining monopolies and how they work and how they're empowered by governments, you can hook a lot of people. I've got people that totally disagree with me, and I'll bring up monopolies and I'll lay it out very basic form, and they're like, wow, I never thought of that.
There's a line that one of the interviewees in my movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which I recommend everyone go watch on YouTube or download free from our torrent site or buy it on Amazon if you want it. And also, I'm encouraging everybody who wants to help our Liberty mission. If you don't have money to donate or you don't have money to buy anything, but you have an internet connection, probably because you're listening to us, unless you're listening on the radio and your radio is not in the pawn shop. If you have a computer and an internet connection, be a torrent seeder for us. We put everything up on torrents as well as on a regular feed. Just go to michaelwdean.com and click on the link that says torrents at the top. Not Torrents, California, but things that are torrented. And there's complete instructions on there on how you can help us without even spending a dime.
That's technology.
We'll be back with no more tyranny and government drug talk. Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed,
Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
And that was going all the way back to 1991, the band Bomb, with me playing bass. I like to pretend I'm like the late night music DJ sometimes. And that was Bomb, going all the way back to 1991, with Power of Suggestion. But yeah, so I did something that's considered bad radio unless you fix it. And you shouldn't. It's also bad radio to point out when you do bad radio, but this show is a teaching hospital. We're trying to mint the next batch of Liberty Radio hosts, so we explain our process sometimes. What I did that's bad radio is I started a story and didn't finish it, so I'm going to finish it right now. The really cogent, and then we're going to get off of tyranny and make fun of ourselves for having talked about tyranny, and we're going to get back to audio production and starting your own radio show. So the story I was going to tell was in the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which you can get from gunsandweed.com, and it's not saying smoke weed and shoot guns. It's basically saying, if you think one should be legal, the other should probably be legal. And it explains why for about 99 minutes in a very cogent way. But, you know, it's liberty propaganda. We stack the deck in our favor because I'm the editor on it. So I get to put what I want and the director. So, but one of the interviewees in there says that, you know, he's talking about how people always say, well, drugs need to be illegal because people kill each other over them. And it's like, he points out, no, they kill each other because they're illegal. And he says, like, you know, during Prohibition, there was, you know, machine Tommy guns in the street in all the major cities, just gangs shooting each other and innocent bystanders being hit. And that still happens with illegal drugs in major cities and minor cities now and small cow towns like where I live. But, you know, what he said was, now that alcohol is legal again, you never see a Budweiser truck and a Miller Lite truck shooting it out while they're driving down the street. Yeah.
Oh, so true.
So audio production, man.
Well, you know, it's interesting going back to what we were talking about media production and consumption and talk radio. I used to be a talk radio junkie. Ugh. But to me, talk radio is almost obsolete, and I'll tell you why. If you have your favorite hosts, you know, back in the day it was like Glenn Beck and stuff. Ew. I would have to. I know, man. Hey, I'm a recovering status. What can I say?
Yeah, I don't say I'm an anarchist. I say I used to be addicted to government, and I'm 6 years clean.
Yep.
From government.
Oh, and it's such a wonderful feeling.
It is, man.
It's so liberating. So, you know, you'd have to listen to the shows live usually. And it would cut into your day. I can remember being at work and I'd like put it on the radio and my coworkers would be like, oh, you know, come on, shut that stuff off, whatever. With the advent of the internet and podcasting, streaming audio, and even syndicated talk shows now have their shows archived and online. Oh, I can consume that media at my leisure, like on my commute to work or when I'm taking my dog for a walk.
And you know, I've spent my life writing books for a living and making movies for a living and traveling the world with movies and, you know, sleeping on floors and staying in 4-star hotels with, you know, movie stars next door, all in the same trip. That was one trip from like France to Prague to back to LA, you know, like going to France and like staying in a 4-star hotel and being in a film festival with like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. And then, going to Prague and staying at a friend's house, and it was really cool, and you know they treated me really well. And then like, no, it was the Prague and then the film festival in France, like in Normandy, in this great hotel, like the best hotel I've ever stayed in. Flown, expenses paid, etc. And then going back to LA and like washing my clothes out in my sink because I didn't have money for the laundromat. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I do, and I don't even consider that suffering for my art. That's what I did and what I do, you know. But I don't even want to make movies anymore or write books because I really dig the power of spoken art, you know.
I'm with you there, brother.
And you can do it while you're doing anything. Like you can't read a book while you're riding a bicycle. You can't read a book at the gym. I guess people try to watch TV on the treadmill, but
I can read a book when I'm at the gym. I do it every day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What, listening to an audiobook?
No, man. I bring my Kindle and I get on the elliptical and the treadmill.
Well, you can't really consume anything but spoken or audio media while you're driving. Hopefully you're not watching screens while you're driving.
Yeah.
But you know, I really feel like, you know, I say it in the ad for my, and people should go to creamyradioaudio.com, my website on how to do caviar sound on a cat food budget, as I say. And
that's a great tagline.
It's from The Simpsons. There's a thing in The Simpsons where there's like a self-help guy writing a book on how to live a rich lifestyle for much money.
Dumpster diving guy.
Yeah. And he's like this yacht, it was half price because it smells like cat pee. These beautiful women, they used to be men. I'll teach you how to live a caviar lifestyle on a cat food budget. But but I really believe that the most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. And that's what radio is, man. Whether it's on a radio antenna or on your pod. We'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Away, it is great how things do change. There was a time when I did cry. I can't sing really in key right now because I'd have to sing a little louder and my wife's asleep. But here on Michael Dean After Dark, we do take requests all night long. And we have a request from Marika calling all the way from Berlin, who's asked us to explain how you do a streaming network, because she's listening on LRN.FM. And LRN.FM does it really well. Not everybody does it that well, but he does it really well. First thing is, you have to decide whether your streaming network is going to be live or pre-taped or both. Are you trying to get your cat to purr into the mic there,
Chandler? No, I was putting my mic back now.
Okay, because I'm getting mic noise. I'm turning it down with the mixer. So you have to decide whether it's going to be 24/7 pre-recorded or live or a combination of both, like LRN. And then you need to get some automation software. There's one called Enco. There's one called DAD, D-A-D. There's some free ones out there. You can just poke around. Depends on what operating system you're using. Actually, Linux has some really good ones. You can also use Winamp. And there's a you need to get a streaming server service. Basically, we use one called Voscast, VOSCAST.com. And they have different packages depending on the streaming bit rate. And Ian has three different bit rates. He pays for three different packages. It's like a 32K per second, a 64K per second, and a 128K per second. I just have a 64K one. It sounds pretty darn good, and it's cheaper. I can't really afford to have all three of them. I guess I could afford it, but I don't want to afford it. There's some other things I want to spend my money on. So, and then to... they have a function on there called Auto DJ, which is basically, you upload MP3s. It's meant for people who do it with music, but you can do it with, you know, hour and a half episodes of podcasts too. And what I do is I upload, you know, every couple days I upload two or three of the new episodes, and you have to stop the server and then restart it for them to be included in the rotation. And then if you want to broadcast live various times, you can stop the auto DJ and connect with this utility called Butt, B-U-T-T, which is freeware, and it stands for, if you search Butt, you won't find it. Search broadcast using this tool, B-U-T-T, or just search Butt and, you know, streaming cast, and it'll come up. But yeah, Butt, broadcast using this tool, is what you can use to connect your computer, you know, your mixer, your live show to the streaming server. So like, let's say during the day, you know, you have three people doing shows for 2 hours each. So you have 6 hours of live per day. And the rest of the time you play episodes of the, you know, streaming of those episodes. Now there are laws with, there's no like FCC for it, but you know, you can cuss on streaming, but there are laws for, usage of music, and they generally don't go after people if they just have, you know, a little streaming server, but if it starts getting popular, they start charging royalties. So what I tend to use is, you know, BMI, ASCAP, and whatever the, I forget what the European equivalent of that is, but they'll come after you. So what I generally do is only play my own music if I'm playing music, or play music by people I know that I have expressed permission to use. You know, because I just don't want to avoid the hassle. And you just put the link up. You know, they have little chiclets that you can work it with different, you know, for different Chrome robot turds like iPhone and Android phone and things like that. They have software for that at Voskast that's free. It's included with the package. Now, to really run it the way Ian Freeman runs it, like a radio station, I mean, this show, for LRN, runs like a radio station. It uses automation software, which hooks up through the internet to the, you know, international and national atomic clocks and, like, literally, like, changes on the second. And you can set it up to have 10-second liners, 30-second promos, 60-second commercials, whatever you want, and you can run it like a real radio station. So that's your primer for that. And then I guess I'd say to do a live show, you need a decent mic. You don't need an amazing mic. You can use an SM58 rock and roll mic. You can use a Shure Beta 57A, which is kind of like an SM58, but a little better. An SM58 costs about $100. The Beta SM57A costs about $140. I was using an Electrovoice RE20, which costs about $500, and it's giant. It looks like a beer can, a gray beer can. And that's pretty much what's in every radio station in the country. But the thing is, they don't sound, to my ear, to my really good ear, they don't sound any better than this mic I'm using. The reason they're in radio stations around the country, part of it is just because everyone's always used them, and everyone says, oh, that's the one you got to get. But it's also, they have a really wide sweet spot, which is really good for people who don't have good mic technique. Like, this mic has a sweet spot about the size of a tennis ball. Like, if I get over here a little bit, it gets a lot quieter. An RE20 has a sweet spot about the size of a basketball. Like, if I got over here, it would be, you wouldn't know, it'd be exactly the same. So it's good for people who, you know, like, radio stations have a lot of guests coming in and out being interviewed who've never been on radio before. So it's good for that. But since I have good mic technique because I was in a band and intuitively, you know, I put headphones on and I intuitively know where to be in front of the mic to sound good with different volumes. I don't really need that. And I have a good scissor arm. It was like $29, you know, it's sprungy, and I wrapped a scarf around the springs. It looks kind of rock and roll and, you know, kind of hippie, gypsy, but it's not the real reason I did it. I kind of like that. It has that, like, you know, 70s freeform radio feel, but it also keeps the springs from springing when I move it and the mic picks them up. And then I'm going into a little cheap tube preamp compressor and going into a mixer. And then that goes, you know, into my computer and out to the world. Yeah. But actually, like, I have another thing too. I have a Comrex unit, which is like $1,400. And that's what I connect to Genesis Communications Network. And they actually send me up to satellites and then down to radio stations. We are on a satellite feed. But LRN isn't using the satellite feed. They're using – oh, actually, they are. They have a satellite receiver, and then they're using going out to streaming. And they also have their own satellite feed. They go out to KU Band Radio, which is like anybody in North America with a dish can pick that up. But they do that for, you know, let's say unlicensed radio stations to be able to pick them up and rebroadcast it. But, you know, a lot of them just use the streaming – same streaming network people are listening to. So what do you got to add to that, Chandler? Anything?
Well, we don't do it that fancy. Basically, we just put up the links on our website and have you can download them or play them right on the website. We were trying Mixler before, and it worked good to stream live, except for the fact that they could only hear one or the other of us. Eventually, once we get on track, I'd like to do something like that, and I will definitely have to consult you a little more.
Yeah, but okay, so you don't have to do as much work as that because you're not doing live, right?
Right. We want to go back to live, though.
See, the thing, there's pluses and minuses to live. You know, the minus and a plus for the host is you have to be at the same place at the same time every day, which is kind of can be a drag, but it also, like, for me, adds a little bit of structure to my life, which is probably a good thing, you know. So that's a good thing. But I mean, I kind of feel like David Fincher said it really well when he talked about, you know, he directed the first two episodes of House of Cards. Did you know that?
Yep.
For Netflix. And Netflix is brilliant. What they do is they release a whole season of a new show that they've created in one night. And That's brilliant, because that's how people want to consume stuff they love. And it's also kind of an anti-piracy thing. It's like they're trying to
it is.
Like, how can we make money on this? You know, like basically pirating stuff offers things that you can't get when you buy it. And it's like people don't mind paying for stuff if it has all the features they want. And one of those features is I want it all right now. And Netflix recognizes that. Netflix is brilliant. I use Netflix. It's like you can get pretty much any movie ever made that you can think of in any TV show for like $16 a month. That's amazing. But, you know, so what David Fincher said was when he was talking about why Netflix was doing that, he said, the age of Thursday night at 8 o'clock is dead, you know, meaning like waiting for your new TV show and having to be in front of the TV at the same place at the same time. Like, you know, so many time shifting mechanisms have killed that. But, you know, you can't call in to a radio show unless it's live. And I think there's also something about, I think there still is a little bit of magic to the idea of like, I'm listening to somebody who's actually talking this right now, and there's X number of people also hearing it live at the same time. So it's a collective experience. Like we're all experiencing this together, even if we can't see each other, you know, and it's kind of a combination of one person speaking to another, the host speaking to you, or if there's two co-hosts, the co-host speaking to each other and you feel like they're speaking to you. And you can also speak back to them because you can call in on some shows. But there's also this feeling of like, you know, there are millions or thousands or dozens of other people out there hearing this live at the same time. And, you know, it's not actually absolutely live. Like anybody listening streaming is probably listening about 10 to 20 seconds delayed because that's how streaming works, because it has to buffer it on your computer. So depending on your internet connection and your speed, like I've tested this, like we'll go to a break and I'll turn on the LRN feed and I'll hear me saying, and we're going to go to a break right now. Like, you know, something I just finished saying like 10 seconds ago. So it's not really, really live. And when you're listening on radio, it's closer to live, but it's like, you know, it has to go up to us. That's not a 20 second delay. It's like less than a second delay, because it's basically going from me to GCN, from GCN up to some satellite, and from some satellite down to a radio station, and then through all their processing equipment. It's probably about a fifth of a second off live. Yeah. Yeah, because we do have a cuss dump, which is a 7 second delay, but it's weird how they do it now. It actually builds in real time. Like there's no delay on the commercials. And when the music's out after the commercial and we go into a talk part, either myself or the board op at GCN, either of us can hit it. We hit a green button on our screen and it builds a delay in real time. It's really kind of magical how the software does it. It's mind blowing. Like you don't notice it. You notice it if it's on music, which is why they can't do it during music. But that's why I never put you or anyone else on for the first 20 seconds, if you notice that. After the music's out, I mute you down. Not that I don't trust you, but I trust me more. We'll be back on Michael Dean After Dark.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is Michael Dean After Dark. We are petting cats and talking back. We've reached the final segment here on Michael Dean After Dark. And we're going to do some redemption in the third act to put everyone to sleep happy and not have bad dreams, because there's enough of that out there already. You can go find all the tyranny you want. So we decided we're going to talk about the beauty of the internet and how technology has made things better and brought people closer together. And, you know, I don't want to sound like Time Magazine in 1996 going, the internet is the future. The future is now. But, you know, I'll say this. I met my wife online and she lived 30 miles away from me and I never, ever would have met her, you know, except for the internet. That's pretty darn cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I met her on a website called, I can't mention it on the air. It was a special kind of dating site. Yeah. Okay.
So, well, see, there you go. Diversity, speciality.
Yeah, man.
That's what technology brings. It's amazing because we all have beliefs and sometimes we have a hard time getting out there communicating them. But when you have a laptop, a microphone, and the internet, you can speak potentially thousands of people. You can, you know, we would sit there and do our podcast and we'd get on Twitter and Facebook and meet up with people. I met you and so many other interesting people through these technologies, through sharing these ideas that I would have never met.
I've never met you, and I forget that because, you know, you're a friend and like, oh, we talk all the time, but I forget that I've never met you in person, you know?
Well, all three of my hosts that I do my podcast with, I've never met them.
You never met Diana? I thought she lived in your town.
No. She lives in, Michigan now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a lot of these people who I consider good friends, you know, I haven't met in person except for a few at Porkfest. And, you know, we share all these ideas and these memories and have these wonderful conversations. And that's all through the beauty of technology.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when can we just get rid of the bodies and upload into the matrix? But maybe with Namecoin, maybe not quite with Bitcoin. But yeah, I mean, I really, you know, they talk about Web 2.0, which was basically like Web 1.0 was 90, 94, 95, 96. And Web 2.0 was when suddenly everybody could talk to each other. Like people set up websites with functionalities where you could leave comments, you could have live conversations, and you could have websites without owning, you know, without learning, without paying a web host and without learning HTML, which at that point, like I got really frustrated with it because I actually said, social networking allows people to have websites who shouldn't be anywhere near a computer, but that's really elitist and it's really stupid. And I like the other thing I said later better, which is that the great thing about the internet is you get to talk to people you'd never know existed otherwise. And the horrible thing about the internet is that you get to talk to people you'd never know existed otherwise. You know, I mean, think about all the arguments you've had with ridiculous status who you'd never talk to otherwise. And I actually don't argue with people on the internet anymore at all. Zero. Nope. Like, you know, if somebody's curious about something, Liberty or cats or audio production, and they don't know much about it, and they're like, well, who would build the roads without the government? You know, and I start to tell them, and if they defend the state like they're defending their family, I'm just like, hey, man, later. And but if they're curious and have questions that seem stupid to me, I'll still talk to them. But life's too short to argue for the sake of, you know, like I don't want to do that.
And what's the point, honestly? Yeah, yeah. I mean, to sit there on a forum thread or a chat room.
Yeah.
And then, I will say that it is a learning experience, though, because when we used to do a live show, we had some people call in that did not share our views, and we had some really lively conversations. Sometimes I can remember one night in particular.
I'll do it on the radio. I'll do it on the radio because it makes for good radio, but I won't do it one-on-one on a chat room or on Facebook or something. It's ridiculous. I'm not on Facebook anymore, but that's my version of saying I've evolved. I don't have a TV is saying I left Facebook, you know? All right. It's been really good having you on, Chandler, and I look forward to next time that you're on a week from tonight.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks, brother. It's been a good show. I've had fun.
Me too. Worms.
I'll sleep well. Worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.